Welcome to Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman, the podcast for accomplished Black women ready to stop surviving and start thriving. I'm your host, Natasha Riley, licensed therapist and founder of Javer Integrative Wellness Services. This is where we move beyond talking about change to actually creating it. Every episode gives you practical tools to build a daily pleasure practice because you've already proven you can achieve anything. Now it's time to learn how to enjoy it. Ready to bridge the gap between knowing and doing? Let's dive in. Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. I am so happy to have you here for another episode of pleasure and self-care and rest. This episode is a really good one. I have a guest for you today who gets into all the nitty-gritty of things. But before I introduce you to the guest, before we have that conversation, I want to invite you to join our free 7-day self-care reset email series. Now, if you're a high achieving woman, and I know you are, who's tired of putting everyone else first, this series will guide you through practically daily actions to reconnect with yourself, set loving boundaries, and rediscover what you truly desire. Each day I have created includes reflection exercises and tools you can implement immediately. So go ahead and head over to javerywellness.com/reset and start your journey from survival mode to authentic thriving. Now, today we're going to talk about money, pleasure, and how to thrive in uncertain times. And I'm going to introduce you to my friend, Nishaya Richardson. Nishaya is the Play Money Coach and founder of Wealth Phenom, where she helps high-achieving professionals build healthier relationships with money. With a focus on financial wellness, Nishaya empowers women to break free from financial stress and confidently manage their finances, whether it's budgeting, saving, or investing in their financial well-being for the future. Through her programs, she combines mindset shifts, practical strategies, and personal empowerment to guide clients toward a stress-free financial life. When she's not coaching, you'll find her mentoring, leading workshops, or working to create a positive narrative around money and mental well-being. And when I tell you, this is a very good episode for everything that's going on in the world right now. She didn't hold back. She was very honest about what we need to be doing and how we need to be moving with our finances in order for us to continue to prioritize our self-care, our pleasure, and our rest. So make sure that you rate and review this. Make sure that you leave a comment about what stood out for you the most. What is it that you plan on doing differently moving forward? Let's have a conversation because I think this is something we don't talk about enough and it makes a difference. So enjoy the episode. Okay, Nishaya. So before we were getting ready to get started, and so I wanted to hit record. Thank you for coming on. I'm excited about this conversation, and I think it is due time to talk about money from a foundational place. And I thought you would be the best person for this conversation because I, as of today, have paid off my second credit card. Yeah. And the only reason I was able to do it is because you gave me that budget template like 2-3 years ago where I was able to break down my check. And now that I get an actual check every 2 weeks, that really helps. But I live by that. And I appreciate how you allow somebody to be themselves and meet them where they're at and still be able to help with like the little things. And so that's why I wanted to have this conversation with you. Where do you feel like we should start? There's so much going on. I feel like I had one way that I wanted this to go about pleasure and money, but with the things going on with the economy, I think that's probably a good place to begin. How do people manage right now? I think that's a good question.
It's so interesting because we're all in different places. Mm-hmm. Some people are still thriving. And then there's a lot of people that are like, wow, mm-hmm. either I just lost my job or my expenses have increased so much that now I don't have as much disposable income as I had last year. Or, you know, responsibilities may be different just because maybe there is a shift in job a job that they have, because if they did lose a job, maybe they took another job that didn't pay as much so that they can get over, or they're on unemployment. So there's just so much happening. And I think that this is an opportunity for people to really, like, you know how I talk about having a pause or something, and I'll just speak from my own experience. My full-time job, there was a lot of layoffs in the beginning of this year, and they're still kind of happening. And I didn't know if I was going to be within that group of people. And this year, I was going to be completely debt free. Like, I was, like, really excited because, I had all my plans to just be completely debt free. I have a personal loan that I took out for business, and I had a credit card that I had, small balance on it. But I was like, oh, I can get this paid off. And that shifted because I was like, I need to save more because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to be in a limbo of looking for a job or, things like that. So all of that money that was going towards paying off debt, I just started saving it all. And now my savings has increased significantly, and I feel safer as far as my job. However, I still have this feeling of worry and don't really know what to do. And I think a lot of people can connect to that, because even when you feel like, okay, I'm in a great space, I feel good about where I am, there's still that in the back of your mind. And some people may say, oh, that's the scarcity mindset. You got to live in abundance. Like, look, nah.
It's real life.
I'll be real. I know I'm always good. I'm always taken care of. But at the same time, I need to be realistic. And I have a child that I need to manage. I have a home that I need to manage. You know what I mean? So it's like, I have paused and shifted my attention towards saving so that I can be in a space where I feel more comfortable and not have to stress in the event that I do lose my income. So I really want people to really evaluate where they are. Even if someone's a business owner and they're feeling like, sales have slowed down or customer buying patterns have changed, go get a part-time job or go get a full-time job. Do something so that you have money coming in, so that we're not in this space of just being like, well, whatever, it is what it is, I'll figure it out if it happens. No, we have to be proactive in this moment. And it may even look like cutting back some things that, we really enjoy. I know we love getting our hair done and nails and all the things. And you may want to keep one out of however many things, but maybe that money needs to shift someplace else, because it may even be paying off debt so that you do have more disposable income and you don't have unnecessary bills that you have to worry about. So it really just is an opportunity for people to pause, look at their situation, see what makes the most sense to focus on right now, so that then they can really start working towards that.
Okay. How do you feel like helping your clients has shifted? Because I know when we were, when we did your challenge, it was more of a, you don't really need to let go of the things that you want. You have to prioritize the things. And I know that that's different right now. So how have you seen a shift in how you support your clients financially?
Yeah, I think it's more so encouraging people to save and just not spend as much if they can. Because you do these workshops and you have these coaching sessions with people, and they're like, well, I really want to buy this home. Okay, cool. What do you need to do to buy that home? And then I talk to them about, well, where's your money currently going? And it's still the same places, right? They're still like, oh, it's DoorDash, I'm going to get my hair done, I'm going to do these things, or National Grid, which is our utility company here in upstate New York. National Grid has increased, and it's always a gamble with them. So sometimes the bill is really high, sometimes the bill is really low. And that's when I can really, identify where people can make some shifts. Because, like, for example, I use a budget plan with my utility company so that my bill is exactly the same amount every single month. So, we know that the summertime we're going to be running the air conditioner. In the wintertime we're going to turn the heat up. So yeah, that bill may go up to $400, $600, when maybe during a certain time of year is at $200. And that's manageable. But when you have that $400 or $600 unexpected bill, now that throws off everything. So just really giving people strategies that they can use so that there's some consistency within their budget is helpful because now we can really predict what's going to happen as much as possible, right? You know,
Right.
obviously there's going to be unexpected things, but just having something that we can really plan and be proactive with, because that's also going to help too, so that we know. And you know, this is stuff that I've talked about before, even when we were, but it kind of pretty much stays the same, but it's just a matter of how our own specific situation, because it's different for all of us, and we really have to look at, okay, where are the areas that I'm having the most difficult time? And either it's people are not making enough income, or they have that fluctuation in their expenses, and now they need to get some type of streamlined process so that they have some predictability and can really plan ahead.
Okay. And so if we swing to the other side of the spectrum, some of the things that I have recognized in my clients is they are really struggling with enjoying their life, especially those that, so I have an age range, I have some that are just out into the world and like they are raw dog in life and it is really, really hard for them. And they're like, how do I continue to live? Like, how do I enjoy my life when I have these set of circumstances? And then you have those on the other end of the age bracket who are like, how do I enjoy my life when I'm terrified and I don't know what to do with my money and I just want to hoard everything? How do you help them move through that? Because like you still have to live. And I'm a firm believer that pleasure is, it's a non-negotiable. Like you have to have it to not literally go crazy. And so how do you help them figure out, well, how do I find it and how do I allow myself to have it?
Yeah, so actually I just talked about this today, that we could do free self-care stuff, right? Things that don't cost money. And they're the smallest things, but they're so impactful. Like, you know, it could just be taking that 30-minute walk every day where it's just you, the environment, yourself, and no phone, no nothing, and just walking and just getting our bodies moving. This summer I did a lot of free workout classes that they had here in the community. So I was doing yoga on Wednesdays. Actually, Thursday I did a HIIT class that was free. Listen, girl, I'm all around town doing the free stuff. And it's like, I feel so good because one, you know, the yoga class was outside in the park. So you're outside for an hour, you're getting grounded, you're around people. Even if you're not socializing, you're just around people. And then, like the HIIT class yesterday, we were stressed out because it was tough, but we were having a good time, you know, and you know, you're not in the house and, you know, whatever. But yeah, take advantage of those free things. They have a lot of concerts and stuff during the summertime that you can just get out and just be and listen and just do nothing but just be out somewhere. And then also, you know, I do find stuff that is low cost, right? And I still provide myself a budget so that I can do fun stuff. And, you know, I think that is so important because we don't want to deprive ourselves, but we also need to be mindful of what's happening. And if we're in that space where we're uncertain and we're kind of scared, even if it's $50 a week or $50 every 2 weeks or $50 a month, whatever's within the budget, find something that is that makes you feel really good, whether it's a dance class, whatever it is, and put that in the budget. And let that be your thing that you enjoy guilt-free. Like $50 is not going to be the end of the world unless you're in a space where you just don't have the $50. And if that's the case, we'll find some free stuff to do, right? So that you can have something for yourself. It doesn't have to cost, but if you want to spend some money, figure out what that amount is that makes them feel comfortable. So then they can just say, okay, I have this thing. While I'm also focusing on all these other important things, I still have this fun thing that's pleasurable to me, and I really enjoy it.
Right. Now you said something that's so important, and I think a lot of women, especially Black women, struggle with this. You said guilt-free. And I really don't know anybody that, well, me, that is out here doing things for themselves guilt-free, especially when we're talking about money. You mentioned self-care. I think what we see in front of us is a very commercialized idea of what self-care looks like, but also there's a lot of guilt of, but I could be doing this. As a matter of fact, I have a client and we talk about, she's fine, right? And we talk about doing things for herself, and we talked about her getting a house and whatnot. And she said, "I just feel so guilty." You know, there's this survival guilt of why am I able to have certain things or do certain things? And there are people in my life that I love that's not able to do things like that. And I hear that so much. How do you get past the guilt? How do you allow yourself to enjoy money, regardless of how much you have, to make yourself a priority and move through the guilt?
Well, we have to be a priority in our financial wellness. That's part of the wellness wheel itself, right? Like we, you know, it's interesting. I did a workshop, I think it was last year, and the woman was talking about wellness. It was on leadership and things like that. And she asked a question. She asked the whole room. She said, who are you? And everybody was like, I'm a mama, I'm a sister, I'm a provider, I'm a teacher, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a this, I'm a that. And I was the only one who was like, I'm me. Like, I am the Shea, right? But that came from, you know, doing the work, right? But so many people are everything and focus on all the titles and all the things except for who they are and what fills their cup. What makes them happy? What brings them joy? What brings them peace? All the things. And I think, unfortunately, because, you know, Black women are the providers or the ones that has to figure it out for everyone, we carry that weight on our shoulders. So yeah, we walk around with the guilt or the survivor's guilt because it's like, ooh, I'm the one with the high income, the one that made it, and everyone's looking to me to help and, you know, provide and do all the things. And then there's that guilt that comes with, well, I'm able to do this, but yet my cousin or my sister is not able to because, you know, they're in a different financial space. But we have to take care of us first before we start pouring into other people. And if we don't do that, then we are constantly going to be taking from an empty cup, and then that's when we get resentful. And we're angry and all the things because now we can't build our savings because every time we put money in our savings, John is reaching out asking for $400. And now, yeah, we feel guilty because, you know, we have it and John doesn't have it. But what happens when you need that $100? You have no one to lean on because John ain't got it. And Candy and Sue and Jane don't have it either because everybody's relying on you. So I love to encourage women to look at it from a different space that I am taking care of me so that then I can take care of everyone else. And also if, you know, sometimes it is, you know, we're doing it from a place of guilt and or obligation and we feel like we have to. That is okay. And I encourage them to have a space in your budget for giving. If you know you want to give to your family and that is important to you, that's something you value, then put that in your budget, whether it's $100, $500, whatever you want to, you know, allocate that towards, that's your giving budget. And when it's gone, you got to develop some boundaries and some words that you are going to go to that says, I didn't allocate money for that this month. That's not in my budget. I cannot support you with that, but here's a great resource that can help you, or this is what I'm able to give. Other than that, I'm not able to help you this month. Whatever it is, we gotta do those things because I've seen too many women that I've worked with that they're in their 50s, close to 60, and they're like, well, I helped my son. And I took all the money out of my retirement, or I helped my mother, and she needed money for the kids, and she needed money for that. And I emptied my savings. I have nothing. I have this. I don't have that. I don't have this. And I don't know what to do because I want to retire, but I know I'm not in a space where I can. And that we just can't do that anymore because our kids, we're not even like teaching our children the lessons that we need to teach them, because if they're relying on us and we're not having real conversations with them about how to get out of that situation so they don't have to keep coming back to us, they're not going to be in a position to take care of us when we do have to retire. So we can't even rely on that. So, you know, we have to put ourselves first. And as I stated, You know, if you're truly a giver, put money in your budget so that you can give. And then also, I know sometimes like the guilt thing comes because they're like, oh, you know, I need to save more, I need to pay off debt, I need to put money away for retirement. And that I can understand that. And I also know that, you know what? I'm going to set my goal amount. So my goal is to save 10%, excuse me, invest 10% of my income every month. Okay, I've reached that. My goal is to save 10% every month outside of investing. Okay, I'm doing that. All right, cool. Now I have no more
Rest,
guilt.
I can do what I want with the rest of
I'm taking care of all the important things. I'm even paying off debt. So now everything else that I spend is gravy. Like, I don't have no more guilt. I'm taking care of retirement, I'm taking care of savings, and I am taking care of me and my bills. Now I don't have to worry about anything. If I want to go buy a shirt or go out or put some money aside for vacation, I'm good. So, yeah, those are the things that I think are important. Focusing on our foundational stuff, putting money if there's things that we actually want to do as far as giving, and then the rest, there's no need to feel guilty about it because you're taking care of everything else.
Okay. And so you mentioned values, and I speak to values on a pleasure, point of this is how you figure out where your buckets are and where you should focus because you can't focus on everything the whole time. How do you approach a value system when it comes to finances?
Pretty much the same way. So a lot of times our personal values are usually are tied to our financial values. So, I'll ask people, well, what do you value? And they're like, oh, well, I value my family or I value my health. And, and I'm like, okay, so let's say you value your family. What are the things that you enjoy doing with your family? Or what about your family do you value? And a lot of times it's, spending time together. Or, funding their children's extracurricular activities and all those things. Okay, so how do we make sure that within your budget or your spending plan so that you know that you're taking care of your values? And a lot of times people, when they don't recognize what their values are, they're spending on things that are just not important to them. Because when we start going down the list, it's like, oh, I value travel, I value building wealth, I've, all these things. And I'm like, all right, so think about your spending. Are you actually spending on those things?
Does it
It
match? Is it aligned?
is not aligned. That's why you got attitude every month. Because you're
When you're
spending
looking
the
at your
money on
account,
nothing you
I like that, and that makes sense. And I think that's the way you helped me approach is because there was some things when we met, I was like, I'm just not doing that, and Shaya, I'm not getting ready to do none of that. And you were like, that's fine, that's okay. And I think it's nice to hear someone say, you don't have to if you don't want to, because a lot of these bigger gurus speak to, well, don't do this and don't do that and go to the bare minimum. And I think those who are even in a situation now, like there's always something that you can like set aside for you. There's always something you should, and we don't like to use the word should, but there should always be something that's just for you. And so I know we talked about guilt, but how does someone maneuver through fear? The fear of spending their money, the fear of the economy, the fear of their circumstances. I mean, because that's a legit reason to not want to do the things that you would want to do for yourself.
Yeah, I'm like lean into it, that's it. Because and truly, because at the beginning of this year, like I said, when I was all the things were happening, and my niece, it was her birthday. She's planning her birthday in December, and she's trying to get the whole family to go and all the things. And I was like, look, girl, I'm gonna be honest with you.
Boo, I
I
love you.
yes, I love you and I love to travel and I would love to go. And I'm gonna be honest that I don't know if I'm gonna have a job at the end of this year. Therefore, I will put down a deposit, but I may not be going if come the end of the year things are different, and I was comfortable having that conversation because I am being realistic. It is, yeah, I can go and get multiple jobs and do all the things. And that could be what someone wants to do too, is like, oh, you know what? I'm fearful. So I'm gonna go and, as they say, chase the bag for the next 6 months so I have more than enough money in the event that, you know, things go left. And that's okay too. But yeah, lean into it and, you know, understand that it's okay to be afraid. And what are you going to do about it? Because what we don't want to do is just do nothing. Because then that's when we have all the negative feelings, because if we could have prepared or did something differently, now we're, oh, I should have did this. Now all the negative talk, you know, self-talk happens, and we're like, you know, beating up on ourselves when, you know, sometimes we make the best decision that we can with what we have. But yeah, like if you're fearful and you know that just having more money will make you feel safer or more comfortable, go get another source of income if you can. If you can't, and you know, then stop some things and be like, look, I'm not doing anything for the next however long. I'm going to give myself that $25 or that $50 to do something just for me. However, everything else is going towards saving or debt or whatever that person needs to focus on. But yeah, I straight up told her, like, look, I don't know if I'm going, but.
Yeah, and that's interesting. So I think one of my questions for you is how are you navigating a space where there really is no clear outcome, especially when you're working with women in their finances and you don't have a clue. I know for me as a therapist, some days I'd be sitting in sessions like I don't even know in what direction to point you, because I ain't never been here before. Like, they did not teach this to me in the curriculum of how to help you get through this. So when it comes to finances and financial literacy, how does that look in these times? Listen, I need to be real with you for a second. You're here listening to this episode. Maybe you're not alone. You're feeling seen. And girl, that's beautiful. But if you're like most of my listeners, you're going to finish this episode, you're going to feel all inspired for about 10 minutes and then go right back to your regular life where you're still putting everyone first. I get it. I've been there. But here's what I've learned. The gap between knowing what you need to do and actually doing it is where transformation lives. Now, if you're tired of just consuming content about self-care and you're ready to start practicing it, not tomorrow, not next week, but starting today, I created something specifically for you. It's called the 7-Day Self-Care Reset, and it's exactly what it sounds like. 7 days of simple, actionable steps that help you move from thinking about prioritizing yourself to actually doing it. No overwhelm, no complicated systems, just practical tools that work with your real life. You'll get permission to put yourself first, learn to recognize those inherited patterns that keep you stuck, and discover what your authentic desires actually are underneath all the expectations. This isn't about adding more to your plate. I'm not going to do that to you. It's about finally honoring what's already on it, starting with you. Ready to stop listening and start living? Visit javerywellness.com/reset. That's R-E-S-E-T. And let's do this work together. Because the woman who just listens and the woman who actually takes action, they live completely different lives. Now, back to the episode.
Yeah, I truly think that people need to identify all their resources that are available to them. Because one, there are a lot of organizations, nonprofits, and even like just some city or federal things that can help us. Maybe if it's like the food pantry or you know, the utility companies that do offer like assistance to pay bills and things like that. So identify what resources are around us. So in the event that we need to lean on them, we can. You know, especially if we're in a space where we might have a shift in income, that would be a great, you know, opportunity to take advantage of those things. If you feel like maybe not right now, I don't qualify for those things. Okay, create a list of all the resources or things that are around us that can help us navigate our situation if we need it. Also, maybe if you don't need it right now, but you can still access it, do it. So like if you go to a food pantry or they're having a food drive or wherever, And maybe you don't necessarily need it, but it could take some money off of your grocery bill every month, save you $25. Okay, well, that's $25 less that you have to worry about that's going out that you can tap onto that resource. So yeah, I would say any resources that are available, whether you need them or not, start creating that list. If you can access them, use them. Also, we got to put our ego and our pride to the side, because
That one right there, because as you're saying food pantry, I'm like, Nana Shea, girl, you know these people is gonna be shamed to go do these things and these particular resources because of the ego. I can only imagine, even for myself, you know, I could be honest, going from getting this check and how do I call myself a business owner and a high achiever, and like I'm having to go do all of these things where it's been fed to my psyche that it is beneath me, even though I know it's not beneath me. But there are some people out there that are like, this is crazy. I'm not going to go out there and do that. That's your choice.
No, but when you eating ramen every day, when you could actually have a full meal, think about, I don't know, like that's your choice, right? And that's okay, right? I just know that everyone needs support at some time, at some point, right? And I think that that's the other thing that people need to realize, that it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to use help that's available. And like, we know how much stuff gets wasted on a daily basis, gets thrown in the trash because no one showed up, or they made too much, or they didn't, you know what I mean? There's so much waste because people aren't taking advantage of it. Or we lose funding for things because people aren't taking advantage of it, because we're shameful, or we don't want anyone to see, like, oh, we went there and we got that free thing. And you know, and I can say that I've been guilty of it in the past. Now I'm like, I just don't care. Like, you know, and I don't use those resources, but I was at a program last, I don't remember what time of year, but it was in a school. It was like a wellness event that they had, and then they were giving away like food bags, and you just really had to write your name on it and your zip code. And they were like, please take this because we have so much that it's just gonna go bad. And I did not care about taking those bags because it was stuff that I could use. And it's not a matter of, oh my gosh, you know, I'm in a horrible space, so I need this thing. No, it was free. They were gonna go in the trash anyway, because if people didn't take it, it was gonna be wasteful. And then it's like, now this stuff is not going to be used when I can just take this. I'm gonna use it. I'll put it in my pantry. And whenever I need, I don't remember what was in there. It was like a variety of stuff. It was some stuff in there that I was like, why is this? This is weird. But anyway, whatever. But yeah, like, it was stuff that I can put in the cabinet, and if I need it, it's there. And if not, then I can give it to somebody if they happen to mention that they need it. But at the same time, it was like, there's nothing wrong with taking this thing. It's no different than us going to like a networking event or somewhere, and they have food, and you're eating the free food. Like, you're there to network, you're taking advantage of stuff. You may not take anything home, but whatever. But even still, like, I think we have to, you know, allow ourselves to get help when we need it. Even if it's just to take some of the money off of our grocery bill, take advantage of it if it's stuff that's there. If, because a lot of these organizations, they're getting federal funding for this stuff, and this is money that, as taxpayers, this is our money. Like, it's stuff that we've paid into. So if we need it, then we can take advantage of it. But yeah, but for those who don't want to do it, that's okay too, right? You know, it's okay. But it's there. So just know that it's there. And even if you want to go put your wig on and your baseball
Black
cap,
glasses.
no one knows it's you. That's fine too. And the other thing is, I've noticed that since like COVID time, a lot of these places, they have like drive-through stuff, so you don't even have to get out your car. You know what I mean? You pop the trunk and you keep it moving. So, you know, and I think they are mindful of that, you know, people also have feel a certain way about it, so that's why they have alternatives. But you know, it is what it is. There was something else I was gonna say about that. Oh, but even like the back to school drives and, you know, stuff they have, you know, I saw so many people this year complaining about school
I'm like,
supplies.
what is that about, like, I don't know, social media just gives people too much runway to just go and say and do whatever they want. Like, I think we're very well aware that there are some that don't have, and if it's not going to kill you to provide, just do it, or just shut up. Just don't do it and don't say anything.
Right, that part. And my thing is, like, what I don't understand is, like, this is not new. Like, when I was growing up, is what our parents did. Like, I don't know what's different. Like, even, excuse me, my son's school sent a thing home today with supplies or whatever. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, it was a normal supply list that he's been getting since he's been in kindergarten. And I'm like, what are people bugging about? And I don't know. It's just weird. But yeah. But if there are programs or back to school that are given supplies and stuff, because I know there's a ton of them in my area. Like, there's so many that I don't even know who's gonna access all this stuff because there's so many of the same events happening, book bags and school supplies and all the things. But take advantage of those so that less things that you have to buy. And take some of that burden off of us. So, and like I said, we're all not in the same space. And I think that's where it comes into where when you are in a space where you feel comfortable and you're like, I actually have more than enough where I'm not too fearful, like I feel okay, then use that opportunity to give, even if it's not a whole bunch, but maybe you do buy an extra box of tissues because you can't afford to do it right now because now you're helping out another family that can't. And I personally think that's the beauty of being in a good financial space, being financially well, is being able to give back when, when maybe we were at a space where we couldn't do it, where now we are, because it's just going to come right back to us. But just giving because we can, it's going to help somebody else.
It is. I can't wait to make millions and just give away stuff. Like
Yes.
the
So.
goal, you get one, you get one, you get one. That is what I'm looking forward to. Cheryl, what allows you to be so transparent? You know, some people in the financial space, even now with everything that's going on in the world, they will still put on a front and have you thinking that they're still living the same life. And it's like, oh, I don't have to worry about putting money to the side. I don't have to worry about my job. But like, you're very upfront about, yo, we in this together. I'm worried about these things too. So what is it about you that's like, I want to be transparent?
I think it's because I know people be fronting, like, and
And
it
do.
drives me crazy. Especially when I have conversations with certain people, and and to be honest with you, I've moved away from one-to-ones, and I do a lot of workshops and things like that lately. But I'll talk to previous clients or just people I've had conversations with, who we may not have worked together, but they kind of shared where they were. And it's like they come in so nervous because they know that they've been put in the front on. And now it's like, all right, now I gotta tell you what's really going
You get
on.
to see behind the scenes of, I knew you wasn't telling the truth.
Yeah. And and honestly, like, I get it. So, I don't judge them. Or I don't make them feel uncomfortable because I know what it's like to put up that facade. I used to do it when I was like in my 20s because like I wanted to look good. I wanted, it felt good to have a nice car and it felt good to have nice clothes, but yet I was maxing out credit cards for these things. I had a $500 credit card and I was making like $13, $14 an hour. Like, girl, what you doing?
What?
Like,
The math is not mathing.
is not like when half your check going to your car payment, you got a problem. But I had to work through all of that. And what I have found, or what I found, and this kind of ties to the work that you do as a therapist, is I didn't value myself, and it was truly connected to my self-worth. And I was trying to compensate with things and an image that, it looked good on the outside, but I was having a difficult time internally because I didn't really know who I was. Like, I couldn't even fill up my own cup, and I was doing it compensating by buying things that made me look good. So, I don't know why why that makes me so transparent, I think is because, like I said, I was there, and I wish I had someone that I could look to like show me, like, girl, it's okay. Like, you don't have to do those things. You know what I mean? Like, you know, but it also, I also am thankful that I went through that because it was part of my journey, so I can get to here. And then I can also connect with people when they're in that vulnerable space to say, yeah, I know I'm supposed to be the six-figure business earner or the six-figure person, but yeah, I don't even know where my money is going. I don't have any money in my savings account. I'm not investing anything. Girl, I get through the month and I'm using my credit card to pay off bills because I have no idea where my money is going. Like, that is difficult to tell someone when you are showing everyone else that you got it all together. So, you know, I think it's because I want people to feel safe, and just naturally, that's just who I am. I'm silly and I'm soft and all the things. Like, I was always a person that, like, I want everyone to be treated fairly, and I don't want people to feel ostracized. And I think that's why it's easy for me to be like, it's okay, you're not alone. Like, I'm here too, you know, like I can connect with you. So I think maybe that's where the transparency comes from, because, you know, it's okay. Like, we all need help, and people need to know that they can ask questions and not feel like, oh, this is stupid, or oh, I'm in my 30s, my 40s, my 50s. I should know this. So because I should know this, I'm not going to let anyone know that I don't know this, and I'm going to keep struggling. Like, it's.
And I think that's really hard right now, especially if you think about people in, I want to say the younger generation, but even I struggle with it from time to time with having so much access to people, right? Even being in the economy that we're in, logically knowing what's going on, when you get glimpses into what people choose to show you, and they look like they're living this glamorous life and they're going all over the place and traveling and on yachts and, you know, all the things, eating whatever it is that they eating with the makeup, it really makes you sit and think, okay, well, I know what's going on. What makes them different than me? And then it does start to eat away at like your confidence and your value to always be in someone's curated life when it comes to the finance piece. And so what do you suggest for those that are like they're just heavy in the social media? We understand it has its addiction, like it has its purpose. But for someone that is struggling with why them financially and not me?
Focus on your own paper.
Hello, listen, stay in your own lane.
It's true, girl. This light is like light. I don't know what happened, but anyway.
It is. It is, honey. You glowing for the gods.
Yeah, I don't know what just happened, but focus on your own paper, because we know that sometimes that's a front. Like, people are lying, and then some people are not. But also, like, it's like that, you know, where people are like, oh, I'm this age, I should be married by now, or I've done this, why don't I have that? And it's like, that's not your journey. Like, focus on what you can control, focus on what's happening in your space, because we don't know, you know, what help or support those people had. We don't know where they came from. They could have had a relative that passed away last year and left them $100,000. And they took that money, paid off all their debt, invested, and then they got a nice, you know, return or something. We don't know what's going on in their world. And I think that's unfortunate, because everyone's not telling the whole story, right? Or you're going to get, like you said, the curated portions that they want you to see. Like, I'm guilty of it. Look, I'm only gonna post you when I post myself when I'm having a good time. I went to Jamaica in February. It was not the best trip ever, and I ain't post not one picture Jamaica. And I just recently thought about it. I was like, I never posted pictures from that vacation, but it was, you know, it was a difficult vacation. But yeah, people aren't going to post what they want you to see, or they're only going to tell you what they want you to know. And sometimes we need to allow people to get through that period, because maybe they'll be ready to tell us in 6 months, when things kind of calm down and they get to a space where they're like, oh, finally I can breathe. Now I can share what just happened to me in 6 months. But yeah, just focus on ourselves. Like we have to, because maybe, there was an illness or something happened in our life that kind of set us back, and we didn't have the same opportunities that someone else had to get to where they were. Or maybe we just didn't have the education
Right.
had to say, oh, let me start investing when I'm 20 versus when I'm 40, and now I got to play catch up. And now most of my income needs to go into my investments because I don't have tw I lost 20 years of my life that I wasn't, so just, and what do they say? Comparison is a thief of joy. Like,
It's listen, it'll take it right out of you, suck it right out of
yeah, like I want to go on two vacations. Well, you just had one amazing vacation. How could you focus on that? No, you're so worried about the one less vacation that you couldn't take that someone else took that you're taking away from the amazing time that you had in your one vacation. Like, and on top of that, we all have different lifestyles, we have different values, we have different things that are important to us. And, someone who we look at who may be traveling the world, they may be using credit cards. And going in debt for that. You know what I mean? They may have taken out a personal loan so they can go on that Dubai trip. We don't know. So let's not count other people's pockets. And also, let's just focus on where we are, what we want to do, because they may also not have any bills for whatever reason. Maybe they live with someone and, all
Right.
their
Maybe
money
they
is
live at
in.
home.
Yeah,
Maybe
that
they live at
basement.
home.
Yeah.
Maybe they live at home. But while you were talking, I was definitely thinking that it does like circle back to you talking about the values part, right? If it is not aligned with your values to sit and be the word just blanked out of my head, but to sit and watch somebody else's life, to be a voyeur in someone's life, if that doesn't align with the values that you have for yourself to have the life that you want, then we really have to sit and think about why do I keep doing this to myself? Because at that point, it's doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And I always say we know what that is. And so how do we create parameters to not pull ourselves into that and just live with the life that we got, with the money that we got?
So we identify the values, and when we know that we're working towards those things that are important to us, we have to constantly celebrate ourselves for, those successes that we have in our journey, right? Our financial journey, our goals. Like you share with me, you paid off your second credit card. Like, girl, that's amazing.
I
Like,
know, I know. I'm so
it's amazing.
fit.
And the fact that you're celebrating yourself is so important because you know how we are. We are the high achievers, and it's like, okay, on to the next.
Right. Nope, I'm gonna go drink out of the fancy glass. And I think after having the conversation with you, like I still got to do the things that I wanted to do. I will say, being a business owner, going to get a job really, really helped, right? I think some of the things that we're fed when we're in other people's worlds, it can mess up your head because everyone's talking, oh, be a business owner. And I know you was like, honey, I got my job. I don't know what the rest of y'all doing. But I'm like, okay, well, let me go ahead and quit, which it was great. I think I have grown so much as a person for deciding to go full time as an entrepreneur that I probably wouldn't have had I not done that. But I also think that having a job gave me so much more, especially a job that I enjoy. It just opened up so many doors for me. And I still get to do the things that I want to do. One of the things I told you, I'm not giving up my six piece on a Friday. After we get off this call, I'm going to go get my six piece. And you were like, well, girl, you keep going to go get your six piece. And I haven't missed a beat, but I've still been able to do these things. So I think we have to do one thing and it has to be this particular lane. Like I thought I needed to be a full-time entrepreneur. But everyone's not cut out for everything. And money is important. It's what makes the world go round. We live in a world where you have to have money to play.
I'm all about the play
Yes.
money, girl. Sorry. But yeah, and that's exactly it. I not that I struggle with this, but I kind of go back and forth with it, because like you shared, like going into the full entrepreneurship, it helped you grow so much. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just I ain't with it. Like it doesn't excite me. However, I will say that
I don't want to listen. There were a lot of crying days. I can understand why somebody wouldn't want to go through that.
no, like I'm good. Like I got paycheck coming in every 2 weeks. However, it also now we're here and I'm like,
Yeah.
man, I should have been going harder in my business and I wouldn't even be worried about that. You know what I mean? Because I know that I have this backup revenue that's easily can replace, you know, what's coming in my full-time job. So I think there's two sides of it. It's one, knowing that, okay, I do have this backup plan, or I just have this additional stream of income that's coming in, and now I'm really good. But it's also like, I don't want to be stressed and worry about where my next client is coming
Right.
and being in that feast or famine mode. Like, I'm not like that.
Right,
I just,
because it stifles the point. You can't be creative, you can't grow. Like they when you trying to make sure the bills are paid, but you can't guarantee where the money's gonna come from, yeah, that makes a big difference.
So I like where I'm at right now in business, but I'm also, you know, excited about growing too. So, you know, it's allowed me to grow slowly, but also doing it in a way that feels good for me to where it's not very stressful, even though there are stressful moments. But yeah, I think just identifying like how we want to do our thing. And you know, you talked about you know, comparing ourselves or just looking at what other people are doing. Yeah, there's some women that are on my timeline that are millionaires or, you know, multiple six-figure earners, and I love it. And it's like, okay, one day I'm gonna get there. I'm gonna
Right.
get there. Or I may not, but one day that's the goal to get there, right? But at the same time, this is where I am now, and I feel good. I feel comfortable. I like where I am, and I'm gonna, you know, be happy about where I am now as I'm growing to get to the next level without shaming myself or feeling like, oh, I should be here, should be there. Like, it's all right. I'm gonna get there. And if I don't, it's okay.
We
I feel,
had a hell of a time getting there.
yeah, like, yeah, I did some fun stuff. I learned a lot of stuff, but this is where I'm at. Okay, this is cool too. Like, it's all right. But yeah, again, it's just identifying what's important to us. What are our values? How do we actually want to spend our money, or what are our future looks like? And then just working towards that. You know, like I'm a simple girl, even though I do like some cute stuff. I like traveling, but at the same time, like, I come home, if I could get in my bed and just
Listen.
chill and watch TV, I am gravy.
Right.
Bye.
Absolutely. And even traveling, like, I like to travel, but that 2 weeks in Bali, honey, I'm good. I'm good. I don't need to go nowhere else for a while. I'm gonna stay right here with my feet on the ground.
Takes a lot out of you. It's exhausting, you know, like, yeah, you have a good time, but then now you need a vacation from the vacation because it's so much, you know, it takes so much out of you to travel. So yeah, it's just recognizing like what we need to be happy. So then that way, when we see all these things, we don't like start beating ourselves up and just having all the negative stuff that comes into our brains pop up and take over and make us feel like we're a failure or something.
Right. So as we kind of wrap up, for those that are still learning financial literacy and learning the foundationals, what resources or books, podcasts, or things do you recommend for those that are like, okay, I'm ready to get myself together. I'm ready to figure out what this means for me and what I want and take control of my money despite where I'm at in this economy. Because even if you're on the lower end, there's still things that you can do to maintain yourself, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we got to start somewhere, right? Like, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of getting through the month and paying all the bills on time. Like, didn't start there, you know? So, I do actually have a free training that I offer. I have a budget template. It's actually the same one that you're
Baby, I
referring
love
to.
that tip. That template is a
I have
game
it on my
changer.
website, and there's actually a training now that I have that goes along with it. So it really guides people through that process. I don't even know if I gave you the link for it. Sorry if not, but they can go on my website, shesthebudgetguru.com, and find the template that pops up. And then there's a free training that goes along with it. And it really just walks you through creating that template, and it goes through the heart goals. So we're talking more about our heart goals, our feelings with money versus smart goals, where it's very time,
Right. I
all the
know.
things.
I'm the smart girl, smart
Yeah,
goals girly,
which
because
is cool,
that's what I've
right?
been taught. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's cool too. Either that, or there's actually another personal finance person that I actually love her. Her name is Tori Dunlap. She her first K is her programs, and her she has a Facebook group and all the things. And actually, I'm actually part of her Facebook group because I was like, what is this about? And she literally talks about so many of the things that I talk about, but just in a different perspective. But pretty much everything is kind of like this similar, very similar. But she also does investing stuff too. But she has a great book that's out there, and she has a wonderful community. That people who are trying to get to their first 100K, whether it be in their savings, their investments, whatever it is. And when I hit mine, it was like so nice to like celebrate her group, because I'm like, oh my God, I could just celebrate this, and everyone here is working towards the same thing. But Tori Dunlap, and I also like Ramit Sethi. He actually has a special on Netflix. I don't know if it's still on Netflix, but he has a
Oh,
YouTube.
yeah. I watched that with the
Yes.
couples and
Yes.
the yes, that was so
Yeah.
good. It
He
was so
has so
good.
many of them. I have a, the notifications pop up. That's kind of like the only thing I have notifications pop up for is YouTube, because I love watching and listening podcasts. But he has the couples on there, and I think it is so nice to see that dynamic for people, especially when we're sharing finances with other people, because sometimes, we just, it would be great if our partner was exactly the same as us, but unfortunately, it's
That
not.
would be great.
Yeah, it's not realistic, but he, also has some really great resources. His book, I have it. I really couldn't get through it. Like, I use
I
Audible.
couldn't get through it either. I think he's more of a, I want to see you and not
Yeah.
necessarily read you.
Yeah. So I wouldn't necessarily recommend the book. Not for me, but some people may like it. So yeah, those are the people that I would recommend, because I actually like their stuff just as much as I love my stuff. So I think other people would like their stuff too. And even Myrna, I don't even know how to say Myrna's last name, darn it, but she's on Facebook, but she does investing stuff too, and personal finance. So anyone who's looking for investing and like just starting out, Myrna would be a great resource for them. But yeah, there's so many great people that I could recommend, but those would be my top three.
Okay. Well, Nishaya, I appreciate you so much for having this conversation with me. You helped me be consistent. And I was like, I got to share the girl because I'm a girl's girl. And as far as like last words of just encouragement and just, we all trying to make it through this, what do you want to leave the listeners with?
Start somewhere. Just start somewhere. I don't, like I said, it could just be getting through the month paying everything on time, or getting through the month without using your credit card, getting through the month and saving $5. Like, just go open the savings account. Maybe you don't even put nothing in it, right? Just go open it. And then next month, the goal is to put $10 in there. And then the next month after that is to set up the automatic transfer that goes in there, so we don't have to touch it, right? I think, doing one little thing at a time, and eventually it's all going to come together, and just not overwhelming ourselves with trying to do all the things, because we should be at this magical place that we have in our mind that we should be at. But just start somewhere, and if they don't know where to start, where that start is, reach out to me. Like, we have a quick chat in Messenger or something. But yeah, just start somewhere, even if it is just reading a book and saying, okay, what am I going to take from this that I've read and implement into my life? Start somewhere.
And that's a wrap on today's episode of Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. If this conversation sparked something in you and you're ready to take action, don't let that inspiration fade by Monday morning. Visit www.jruewellness.com/reset and start your free 7-day self-care reset today. Because the woman who just listens and the woman who actually takes action, they live completely different lives. Talk to you next week. Bye.